Blog Talk Radio.
Joyful, and all the people on earth may know the blessing of being your children.
And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I'm going to bring on our panel, Pastor Kent, okay, Pastor Veal, and Pastor Leroy.
Hello,
hello,
Pastor
everybody.
Kent. I had a
terrific. How you doing today?
I'm doing phenomenal, Pastor Ken. I'm doing absolutely great. And as always, a plug really quick here for Bearded Iris Nashville Brewery. Moondust Imperial Milk Stout with graham chocolate, mallows, and lactose. It also is made to taste like a moon pie. And it's an absolutely delicious beverage. I highly recommend it if you're ever in the area or are into Imperial Stouts like I am. But anyways, we had a fantastic Sunday service today. Many people showed up. Tim and his wife showed up. They've been calling into Pastor Hopper's other show that he puts on off days of GRM. And we just had a great time. It was a phenomenal service. It was a phenomenal day, and I'm always happy to be here, Pastor Ken.
Well, I'm glad you are. I am glad you are. Yeah. So, Pastor Ken, how are you doing today?
Well, I went to a Sunday service. It's been a long time that I've been in a church, but it was good to get back, seeing as all the rigmarole about the mass and all this malarkey is gone now. At least I can get back to living again.
Amen. Amen. What type of church did you go to today?
I went to a Victory Pentecostal Church.
Okay.
I got permission to a color pastor, which was my favorite kind of preaching.
Amen. I've gone to many a black church in my day. Okay, and listened to the sermon. Okay, it's a blessing to get a good sermon. Okay, from the black church. Okay, and they are usually well delivered in their sermons. Hey, well, Pastor Leroy, how are you doing today?
Okay, man. This is Pastor Leroy Jackson, man, in case you forgot, I'm from the Bronx, man.
No, we haven't forgot.
Well, just in case you did, I'm doing fine, Pastor Ken and Pastor Veal and Pastor Kent. I'm doing real good. I was in church this morning, the Holy Baptist Church of Lawnside. Hallelujah. It was a great day, a beautiful day. I woke up this morning, and yeah, I got a hangover. Things, man.
Amen. Time went on Saturday, Leroy?
Well, time went on last night. Time went on. And let me give a little apology out to Pastor Kent for my actions last evening. I apologize for that. Sometimes you just let stuff get a little out of hand. I want to personally apologize to Pastor Kent Hopper. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All righty. Well, Pastor Fields, what did you preach in your sermon today?
I preached about lying and how it's ungodly, and I know that seems very, very basic, but there have been some things that have happened to me recently that have made me think a lot about lying and a lot about why it's truly, I don't want to say detestable, right? Because detestable seems like we're passing judgment onto somebody, and it's God's job to pass judgment onto somebody.
Right.
Not ours. But, you know, I just received this email the other day from a individual who will remain nameless, but I think you know who they are, Pastor Ken. And I believe Pastor Kent and Pastor Leroy also knows who they are. But they emailed me and said that I had sent dirty pictures of my private parts to another person without getting into too much detail, they said that I had kissed somebody in my ministry service on the lips in a sexual way, and there's no good thing done in my church on a sexual basis. But there were just many lies brought up, and people were coming up to me after the service and, you know, saying, like, I heard this happen, I heard that happen. But none of it did. It was all false. It was all lies. And so I
well, you know, sometimes people ain't got nothing better to do but to lie on somebody, you know?
Yeah, amen. They have nothing better to do and something godly.
But well, why don't you bless us with that sermon online, okay, so we could hear it, okay, on today's show.
Yes, amen. I would love to.
Okay, great. Go ahead whenever you're ready.
Yeah. Proverbs 12:22 reads, "The Lord detests lying lips."
One moment, please. Hold on, Bill. Sorry to interrupt you, Pastor. Ken, while he's doing this sermon, go ahead and block everybody out.
Okay, is there noise?
Yeah, mute everybody while Bill does his sermon.
Okay, no problem. Okay, we'll do so.
Thank you. Proceed, Pastor Veal. Sorry about that.
Thank you very much, Tony F. You're always the best producer of this show, and I greatly appreciate your presence here, as always. Anyways.
You're welcome.
Proverbs 12:22 reads, "The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy." And I think trustworthiness is an understated thing in today's society. We value people who do things for us, and we value people who go out of their way to do things for us. I'll tell a brief story. When I had first moved to my new location in my new town, I made a good friend, and I lived with him in the attic of his house, essentially. He was an alcoholic, a full-fledged one, speaking on the addiction discussion we had yesterday. I was prescribed Adderall at the time. And I no longer take Adderall. I quit cold turkey. But there was one particular night in which he drank, I kid you not, a handle of New Amsterdam vodka, stole my Adderall from me, and then proceeded to try to drive to North Carolina to see a woman. It wasn't a good event. And he called me at 3 in the morning while I was laying in my bed. And this is ungodly, but with a woman at the time. And he said, "I need you to pick me up from the county jail." And I sort of mumbled something to him and fell back asleep because I had been tired. I was committing fornication the night before, and I was very tired. It was an ungodly sin, and I deeply regret it. But I didn't want to leave this woman sitting in my house all alone with another guy who slept like a rock in the basement. And I didn't go pick him up. And the next thing I heard was at 9:00 in the morning, when I actually woke up, him stomping up and breaking a glass in the downstairs portion of the house and going and talking to my buddy who was sleeping in the room adjacent to me, extolling how I have left him out in the cold in a jail cell for the night over his second DUI. And I think there are a few facts. First and foremost, yeah, it is his second DUI. He should have just sort of sat, I think, a little bit that night to think about driving absolutely blackout drunk. But also, I should have, as his friend, gone to pick him up. I can hate the sin, but I can't hate the sinner. And I think I truly neglected that night. And ever since then, I've made an oath to myself to remain trustworthy, to go ahead in my interactions with people in a trustworthy manner and in a good way in that fashion. And the reason why is relationships are entirely built on trust. There's a reason you cannot cheat on your girlfriend outside of it being a sin. It ruins whatever trust you have built up in that relationship to remain faithful and monogamous. Now, of course, if you're in a polyamorous relationship or something to that effect, that's different, and I won't get into that. Or if you're Mormon, I know we have some individuals who call in who are Mormon, such as Brother Longfeather. But the short of the matter is the reason why you don't cheat on your girlfriend is that it breaks down trust. The reason why you don't cheat on your taxes is it breaks down trust, even though it would be totally cool to tie one on to the IRS because I don't like the IRS. But the simple fact of the matter is you should tell the truth. Now, when I received these dirty, disgusting emails, I was offended at first. I was deeply hurt that somebody would say Pastor Veal makes out with women in his church, that he goes around lusting after women in the confessional booth, even though we're not Catholic and we don't have a confessional booth. That's an air quotes then. I'm sure you can't hear it. But Pastor Veal goes around lusting after women. Pastor Veal doesn't actually believe what he believes in. He's just a full-fledged liar. Pastor Veal sends dirty pictures to people. He chats with women on Twitter.com. Who doesn't know? All that is false, and all that is rumors, and all that is coming from people who I think are deeply hurting inside. And it is important for us to always remember that we need to pray for the sinners. Even though somebody might break our trust, say my wife went out and slept with five guys, that would break my trust, and I would seek a divorce, right? But I would still pray for her, because obviously she needs help. And that would be an incredibly hard thing for us to do as Christians, right? Everybody suffers with anger. Everybody suffers with rejection. Everybody suffers with sadness. Everybody's been crossed in their life. I think it's, even Jesus was crossed in his life. We got to remember that. The reason Jesus was crucified was he was crossed by his own people, his disciples, or one of his disciples in particular. But it is important for us to pray for them, because as Jesus said when he was dying on the cross, Father, they know not what they do. And oftentimes, habitual liars don't know what they do. They don't know the harm they're causing. Even white lies, you know, we might go by in our day and your wife might come up to you and say, your husband or whoever might come up to you and say, honey, do I look fat today? And of course, your answer should be, no, of course you don't look fat today. And I'm not talking about those white lies now. Sometimes we say white lies to ourselves to get by on a daily basis, that we're happy, that we believe in what we believe in, that we're following the gospel. If somebody asks us on the street, you know, do you follow Jesus? I think the answer for most Christians would be, of course, yes, I follow Jesus. I keep his commandments. I believe in him, and I believe that he's my Lord and Savior, and that God Almighty is up there trying to protect us and shoot ropes to us, right? But a lot of times I don't think Christians actually believe that, and they live a life of sin. And it's important for us to recognize that even white lies are sinful, and we should stop doing it. In closing, I want to leave you with another quote. I want to leave you with another quote from the Bible. Let me just flip my Bible open here to it. It's from Psalm 119:163. I hate and detest falsehood, but I love your law. What I read that to mean is, I hate and detest falsehood, things that aren't true, right? Lies. But I love your law, i.e. God's law, the commandments. God's law is something to love. The commandments tell us not to lie. So we should. We should make a concerted effort to be more godly today and every day. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, I said that was a great sermon, Pastor Reveal. Okay? That was a great sermon. Okay, online. Amen.
Amen.
All righty, Pastor Kent, what did you think of that? Well, let me bring, make sure he's back on. Okay, huh? Okay. Pastor Kent, I'm sorry. Okay, I was trying to mute the noise. Okay. All righty. Pastor Leroy, you're back. Okay. Pastor Kent, what did you think of that sermon online?
I agree with what Pastor Veal says. Lying in any form is a sin. Plain and simple.
Yeah,
well,
amen. Amen. Pastor Leroy, what do you think?
I agree with Pastor Kent and Pastor Veal. You don't lie, man. You don't lie.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we got some callers here. We got some 111s and a 909. Let's take the 111s first. Okay. Well, that was ridiculous. Let's try another 111. All righty. Let's try a 909. 909, you're on the air.
Hello, how are you doing?
All right, how are you doing, Beatty?
Yeah, he's Beatty. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Good. Just hearing the Pastor Veal, talk about light, it's good.
Yeah, amen. And, I think it's important for pastors to talk about life because it's where people live, right? We're all living. We're all human beings, I would hope. I would hope nobody would be a shapeshifter. life is one of those things that's one way in, one way out. We come in one way, we come out one way. And it's just important for us to always remember that that's the majority of our journey, right?
Yeah, like the Bible says, the tug is gives life for death.
Amen, brother. Amen. Well, Beanie, do you have anything that you want to discuss on today's show? A question for the pastors or the panel?
Yeah, just I remember when I was going to high school. There's this black guy, and he used to lie a lot. And his name was Leon, and we used to call him Lying Leon. Everything that he said was a lie. He told us that he was related to a rapper and this and that. And that he invited us to his house because the rapper was going to be there. And then it turns out that he wasn't there, that he missed his flight. So this guy just lied and lied, So we just called him Lying Leon.
Amen. Amen. What rapper did he say was going to be at his house?
Yeah, he said he was related to Kendrick Lamar.
Really?
Oh, what's your favorite Kendrick Lamar album, Beanie Loco?
I think his first album is like one of the best. I like that. Don't mess with my vibe. That was pretty good.
Yeah, Section 80 is pretty good. For me, it's what was the one he released in 2016? I cannot believe I'm forgetting this. Kendrick Lamar. I do like Kendrick's new album a lot. It's very good. Father Time is an exceptional good song. I highly suggest you listen to it if you haven't. And his new album is just, I think it's getting a lot of hate that it honestly doesn't deserve. It's solid. But yeah,
Section 80
is an album, Beanie.
Yeah, he's more of a conscience rapper, which is good, I don't like to hear all that stuff, I got gold, I do drugs. No, he's different,
Yeah, he really is. But, Beanie, what did you learn from your experience with, what kind of person says that, I'm looking at chat right now. Somebody said, what's the best kind of Bud Light seltzer? The answer is no Bud Light seltzer. Are you kidding me? Why would you buy a Bud Light seltzer? Anyways, Beanie, what did you learn from your experience with this Lying Leon individual?
Well, I just learned not to trust him, not to trust his word, because it's bad, like the story about the boy who cried wolf, just don't trust them. Don't trust people like that. Because all they're doing is lying.
Amen. Well, Beanie, I'm so happy that you've joined us on today's show. Your presence is always welcomed, and, I always really enjoy speaking with you, and I hope you, if you have any more questions, feel free to ask him, or if you have a story you'd like to tell or something you'd like to say, that would be absolutely great.
Yeah, I'm going to start a new business. It's supposed to be coming out pretty soon. You know, I started on a quarter of 4th and Boyle. You know, I've got my own little cart now. And so I'm selling tacos and burritos. You know, and, it's called La Bomba.
Very cool. What are you gonna? Are you gonna have like interesting names for each of the tacos, or is just like
Actually, I got a taco named after Pastor Ken Fishman. It's a fish taco.
It's
when I ask people how they like it, they're like, it's okay, it's okay, you know. So like, it kind of goes with you, you know.
Okay, that's good.
And maybe you can make a taco that has rabbit on the hopper.
Yeah.
Well, bring on another call, you know.
One
more.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Pants.
Hey, how you doing?
Super.
Good, I'm doing very well. I just wanted to kind of piggyback off of what Beanie was saying, that the tongue is life or death. I think Kent said it himself, that the tongue is a double-edged sword.
Ken, you have to figure out who's making all that noise. Somebody's got to be muted.
Okay, there must be noise in the background. Okay, well, let's try that. See what happens. Okay. All right.
Who was the pastor?
Well, we got a bunch of 111 callers. Oh, my God. Go ahead, guys. Go ahead and continue.
Okay. Well, I have a question. My question is playing the fifth or not answering questions, is that considered lying?
Well, no. It just means you're not willing to answer the question. Okay?
No, pleading the fifth means you're not willing to incriminate yourself.
Well, yeah, you're not willing to incriminate yourself, yeah. But you're basically
okay.
Not willing to answer the question.
Okay. So it's not considered being, like, evasive or anything like that, or, you know, not telling the whole truth?
Well, it's not actually lying because you're not saying one way or the other.
Okay. All right. I'll take that answer.
Yeah, and also, the fifth is constitutional. You know, you need to know your rights. There are many people who don't know their rights. And you need to know them, plain and simple. So pleading the fifth is very base. I highly support it. Amen, pants soiler. Now,
yeah,
pants
yeah,
soiler.
That's right. It's in our constitution to plead the fifth when we start too soon. Okay, so
Amen. We
should be able to do so when we need it.
Now,
okay.
Pantsester, what are some moments at which you would plead the fifth in your life?
Ooh, answering if the my name is true or not.
Good reason to plead the fifth. Is your name true or not?
Say again.
Is your name? Let's test this in practice. Is your name Pants? Her in chat.
Yes, it is.
All right, cool. Now here's an example of a question for those in the chat room of which I think you would plead the fifth. Pants Esser, have you ever committed a sin against another man in a deviant nature?
No. What kind of question is that?
Oh, he doesn't want to plead the fifth on this. Okay. Have you ever lied on your taxes?
I got to plead the fifth on that one.
See, there we go. That's a good one. Amen. Well, Pastor,
that was a good one.
Pastor Ken, do we have any more callers?
Yes, we do. We got some 111 callers. Okay, let me bring them on and just hope there's some good callers. Nope, not a good caller. Try another one. Not a good caller. Try another one.
You meant an anal. Rude.
Oh, yeah, that's another good one, yeah. Let's try another one.
Seaman.
Hello, 111, you're on here.
Seaman.
Okay, that was no good. Well, those were a waste of time. Those were a waste of time.
I believe you were saying very bad and vulgar words on your show, Pastor Ken.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
I think that's ungodly. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah.
Amen.
I don't know why people want to do that.
They could sit down and have a nice discussion with us about lying and about God and about lots of other things. But instead they say rectum on the air and other disgusting, dirty words that I can't repeat because they are swear words. Amen.
Yes. It's just terrible. All righty. Well, let's get into... who would like to do the altar call for today? Okay?
I think...
would you like to do the altar call?
Me? No, I think we should pass it on to Pastor Kent because he hasn't spoken much this episode, and I'd love to have him do the altar call.
Yeah, Pastor Kent, how about you?
Sorry, I apologize for my gruffing. It's just I have a bit of a cold, so that's why my voice is really bad. But it's okay. It's all right. But yeah, altar call. Well, you may be wondering where you're going to spend eternity. Where you're going to go after you pass away. Everybody wonders this question. You know, is there an afterlife? Well, I assure you, and I'm sure the panel will agree, there is life after death. Say this simple prayer. Father, I am a sinner. I am sorry for my sins I have committed. I know my sins have put distance between us. I know the distance between us can be healed, as I believe Yeshua, Jesus Christ, died on the executioner's stake for my sins and rose on the third day from the dead. I now receive you as my personal Savior and Messiah and accept the gift of forgiveness, and in return I forgive others, and now I receive the gift of everlasting life in the kingdom of heaven. Thank you, Abba Father, in Adonai's Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
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 If you've said that prayer and the number's not up. Ken, what's the number to call in?
It's area code 657-383-1487. Once again, that number is 657-383-1487. And press the 1 key. You come on live and let us know that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Amen. And
amen.
We want to say we here at God's Rainbow Ministries want to welcome you into the family of God. And we want to say, may the Lord bless you, and may he always keep you highly favored. Amen.
Amen. May he fill you
Amen.
To the brim with his love.
Amen. All righty. Well, we got some more callers. Okay, we've got a 585, which I believe is Jeff, Cobra Jeff. Let's see. 585. Is that you, Cobra Jeff?
That is me, Pastor Ken. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am very blessed, let me tell you, Ken. Hello, Pastor Kent. How are you doing today?
Great.
Well, I just want to share that, you know, I had a little accident yesterday. I got into a car accident yesterday. And the Lord was definitely on my side, let me tell you. And this is not, please, Pastor Kent, don't get upset with this. I hit a tree. I crashed into a tree yesterday and totaled the truck. But I'm doing good. Like I said, God was on my side, made sure everything was good. So, in a great mood today.
Are you okay, Jeff? Like, nothing happened to you?
I'm okay. I'm okay. This is, like I said, it's not a dig. It actually did happen. But everything's great.
Well, that's
can't confirm
really
his tree.
Yeah, that's really the hand of God on you that you didn't get hurt in an accident like that. That is the hand of God on you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So,
what kind of tree was it?
I believe it was a maple tree. The roots were definitely sturdy. I mean, this truck hit it pretty good, totaled the truck, but just carved out a piece of bark on it, and that tree is still standing. You know, its roots are deep, like Jesus's words in my heart are. They run deep inside
Amen.
Me now.
Amen.
Amen.
Dr. Jeff, how exactly did you hit this tree? Like, what happened?
So I was turning onto a side road, and I dropped my phone and went to pick it up, and I was turning as I looked down like an idiot and hit the tree. So, it was my stupidity.
Rule one of the road, don't text and drive.
Yeah, I wasn't texting and driving. And I dropped my phone.
Kosoff said to learn how to drive. In the chat room.
That was Kosoff.
Oh Lord,
not very nice. Excuse my language, but that was not very nice. These are trying times.
Okay, let's bring on another caller, 510, which I believe is our brother Tommy. Let me see if I'm right. Tommy, is that you?
Yes. How's it going, Pastor Ken?
I'm doing great. How's it going with you?
I'm good. Just relaxing. I'm glad you're doing okay, Cobra Jeff.
Tommy, yeah,
brother,
really.
Thank you so much. Amen. Praise
Amen.
Jesus.
Now, Tommy, this is Pastor Veal. Tommy,
Hello,
how,
Pastor
have you,
Veal.
How have you led your life in the footsteps of Christ in the past couple of weeks and months? I know your line of work is sort of tricky, isn't that correct?
It is. It's like once you step in it, it's kind of hard to get the stuff off your boot, if you know what I mean.
Amen. Now, Tommy, what do you think should be done about liars, and how do you handle liars in your life?
Well, I believe there are like righteously good liars, like some people that lie for the better sake of others, even though the whole concept is wrong. But sometimes some people probably should not know certain truths about certain things, kind of based on their emotional response and character and such. And then there's other types of people where they just straight up lie just to cover themselves, and then it makes the situation worse for everybody else. And, you know, it's kind of like karma coming back for them in a way. So
hey,
I've dealt with a lot of that.
Kostoff is calling you fake in chat, by the way. He said that you are a fake, and I'm afraid to say the name of your line of work. Unfortunately, it's ungodly. Can I say it?
You can say it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Tommy is a hitman. He's been paid to kill people before.
Well, that's what he says.
And
he admits it.
Yeah, that's what he says. He admits
so,
it. He isn't lying.
So Kostoff isn't lying.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't lying, but you know how Kostoff is. He just wants to say what he wants.
He's like
and
most
he
Americans.
Speaks to.
Most Americans feel they've got the right to say whatever they please, when they please, and how they please.
Yeah.
It's the world we live in.
He has nothing nice to say.
No, but I'm not going to judge him for it because I got my life, he's got his. Big deal.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not judging Kostoff when I say this, though, but I think he's incredibly toxic because all he does is talk mad garbage on other people, amen.
Oh, amen. That is true.
Hey. Yeah, well, hey, listen, let's get into the prophetic word for today. Amen?
Amen.
Make sure you mute everybody before you start.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah, I'll make sure I mute everybody before I start. Okay. Sorry, I put everybody on mute. Okay, that way we cut down on noise. If you got to make any noise, nobody will know you're making it. All righty. Well, let's see. Let's go back to the prophetic word for today. The Father says today, I am the way where there was no way. You may look at circumstances and say, no way, because you cannot see the escape I have made open to you. No matter how much pressure that is coming to bear against you, realize this, that in every human condition whereby the human tries to capture you, I have provided an escape. As I promised in my word, there will be always a way of escape for you out of the terrors and torments of the enemy's assault and your place of peace and life. It isn't necessary to think your way through the problem. I am the way. That is who I am, my person. And there is no mental construct that can encompass what that means, but it is the one truth that makes you free when you simply accept it and act upon it. So let there be no deviation from the path that I have placed before you. Men may threaten you. I say to you that on the other side of your deliverance and what men will no longer matter, I am not willing that you would serve me without joy. I hate, I despise the absence of peace in your life. Those who would hinder you or impede you for their own gain are working sorcery even when they do so allegedly in my name. Know that I don't consult with man or man's opinion regarding who I am in your life, and I do not require you to confer with man regarding who you are and me. This is between us. This is where you get for yourself by faith what I promised you so long ago. So now comes the fulfillment of the promise and the reality of all that I have made available to you in the cross. Amen. And this goes out to those who need it, and you know who you are. Amen. Okay, I'll bring everybody back on. Okay. I'll bring everybody back on. Everybody should be coming back on. Okay. There we are. Everybody back on. Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm so glad we're all back here today, and especially after yesterday's episode. I just want to say yesterday's episode was great. Many, many people have come up to me and said, Pastor Veal,
I listened to last night's God's Rainbow Ministry episode, and it was phenomenal. The debate was fantastic. It was eloquent. It was beautiful. It was godly. And they've said that, Pastor Ken, it was the best show that you've ever put on for GRM. So I just want to say thank you so much for that wonderful show and giving me the opportunity to talk at length about things and, you know, giving the opportunity for an impassioned debate to place between Dr. Hopper and myself. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, I mean, that's what this show is all about. It's about intense moments, okay, and getting to the facts and okay, and everybody's opinions on things, and that's what we want to do as, you know, as pastors, is be able to share our thoughts as to what we believe in things.
Amen. Now, I want to ask a question to the panel here. Recently in my youth ministry services, there's been a lot of people who have come up, younger people who have come up and have expressed to me that premarital sex isn't bad. And in fact, they said that even if it's insertion, and Lord forgive me for talking about this, but I want to get a pastor's panel opinion on this, okay? They have expressed to me that rectal, anal intercourse, fornication, is godly because it's never mentioned in the Bible. Now, I think that's ungodly. I don't think that's true. What do the other pastors on the panel think about this? Like, how do I approach this with my youth ministry?
Huh. Well, I guess you could just, you know, just sit them down and tell them what it is, okay, and how you feel about things.
Amen. Now, Pastor Kent, I want to hear your opinion on this. I know what yours is, but I want to hear it because I think we're broadcasting right now across the state of California, and I want to make sure people know, like, your opinion on this.
Any premarital sex is wrong. Plain and simple. That's it.
Amen. But they've decided in their minds that it's not actually sex, because it's not penetrative in the traditional sense of the nature. So I guess that gets down into the nitty-gritty, like what constitutes fornication, what constitutes sex.
Really? I mean, if they have to ask that, they obviously don't know about the birds and the bees. Seriously. Anything that involves that kind of stuff, penetration of any kind, is plain and simple adultery, fornication. It's wrong.
Amen. So now I'm sort of going to move into this question because I want to talk about dating, Christian dating, right? How do you date as a godly Christian man or woman in your mind, Pastor Kent? I want to start off with you and then move backwards. What is a godly way to date? How do you properly find a partner? Is it okay to reach out to women, for example? Like, how do you properly find somebody?
I chose to wait upon the Lord. And I gave a saying. I said, if she says this, then I'll know. My wife and I were together for 2.5 years. We shared the same house. We shared the same bed. And not once did we touch each other. That's what a committed Christian relationship is all about.
Well, no, I don't see how that can be a truly committed Christian relationship if you weren't trying to have children. It says go forth and prosper and multiply. So as Christians, it is your duty and your job to get married and multiply. So by laying in bed together, not touching, you were sinning. because you weren't doing what God meant you to do, which was to have sex and multiply.
Well, you can think that if you want.
Well, isn't that what the Bible says? I'm not thinking that.
No.
The Bible says that in black and white.
Say anything about that kind of stuff. If you love somebody, you're not supposed to do that.
But then you're not doing what. But then you're not doing what God says, because God says go for it and
you know
multiply.
What, Tony? Okay, this conversation is done. You have your opinion. I have my opinion. We agree to disagree.
Here we go.
That's enough.
Somebody disagreed with you and asked a question. Time for the sissy fit.
It's not a sissy fit. It's the adult thing to do.
I'm not having an adult conversation with you, and you're not having one with me. You're taking offense by questions.
No, I'm not taking offense.
Yet this is why you're here,
again,
to answer questions.
I'm not here to answer personal questions. It's none of your business what goes on in my life.
Well,
none.
You're the one who put it out there. You're the one who told us you laid in bed with your wife of 2.5 years and never touched each other sexually. You told us that.
Exactly.
So you brought it up for question. You brought it up for discussion.
Oh, I see. So now you want the whole world to know.
Well, you let the whole world know. You let the whole world know.
We did. What we did, yes. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Okay, then admit you did it. See, then you did it.
See, there you go again, twisting my words. No?
I'm not twisting your words.
Your way.
You said...
Yes,
you no,
are.
I don't. You said, hold on a minute,
yes,
let me speak.
Are.
Just let me speak. You said that you laid in bed with your married wife and did not have sex. Okay, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But I'm saying as a Christian who God says your job is to go forth and multiply, were you not sinning and not listening to God's word? And you're taking
Tony,
offense
I have
to my
a question.
Question.
I have a quick question, too.
Okay.
Pastor Kent Hopper, was this in, you were actually married when this was happening, or was this just like you were in a relationship?
No, we were not. I just said that.
First he said his wife, when they were married for 2.5 years. Make up your mind. You said you were married.
I didn't say that.
If you hadn't said you were,
I did
if
not
you hadn't
say
said
that.
You were married, then I wouldn't have asked the question.
You just sat there and guessed what I said. What I said was, please listen to me.
I will review the tape when we're done.
No, you weren't listening to me.
Okay,
before,
well, I'll review the
we
tape
married.
When we're done.
Well, Tony F., Pastor Kent, there's a good discussion.
Okay, you know what? If you're
going
to talk
going
over me,
here.
I'm
going
to shut the heck up.
I'm not meaning to talk over you, Pastor Kent. I'm actually trying to pose another question to you and keep this on track. Amen. But Pastor Kent... you mean to say, so obviously I agree with you. I think it's important that if you're not in a relationship that you don't have premarital sex of any kind, anal, oral, vaginal, any of that nature, that is sinful. And I think that's important to tell teenagers especially who are going out and saying things like, oh, you know, we can do it from behind and that's perfectly fine. That's God's loophole is what one person told me in my church. And I think that's ungodly, and I think it's wrong to be doing that, as it is regular intercourse, so to speak. But Pastor Kent, you've mentioned in the past that it was incredibly, incredibly hard for you to do this. So how did you manage to stive off the desire? Because every human has desire to fornicate, I think. It's really hard to get rid of that desire. So how did you stive it off next to somebody for 2 years? That's an incredible example of power of will.
Because I value my lady, and I respect what she asks. And I respect the commandments and laws of the Bible as well. No fornication, no sex, no nothing before marriage. Plain and simple. It's in black and white.
Yes, But Pastor Kent, it's in black and white, right? You know, nobody's doubting these commandments. These are important things to keep in your life if you are a Christian. But there's a lot of times you're tempted to sin, And it's not as complicated as just saying, I won't do that, I won't do that, I won't do that. So how, what are ways, what are, tricks of the trade, so to speak, to prevent yourself from doing that, so I can tell these people, you know, here's some of the ways that another pastor out in Canada told me that you can do to prevent premarital intercourse from happening.
I just said how. It's called respect.
Amen.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Aretha knew all about it.
Amen. You can respect someone, right? Like, you can absolutely say, like, I will respect you. But what does that mean in practice is what I'm trying to get at here. Like, in practice, if I'm laying next to a unmarried girlfriend in my bed, right, and you know, the lights are off, humans get urges, how do we prevent ourselves, you know, how do we take a step back? We can say, like, respect
you pray.
Them all we want,
what do you mean? You pray. You pray to the Lord all night long that you don't act nasty and dirty, to keep you from your sinning thoughts and your sinning ways, to keep your fingers from going where they should not. And then you go to the bathroom and you masturbate.
Okay.
Dude.
Wow. Well, is that begs the question. Is masturbation a sin? I know that's ungodly to speak about, but is masturbation a sin? And I'll open this up to the panel.
Your seed is a sin.
Give me my opinion. Can I have the floor for 1 minute?
Yeah, sure, Pastor Leroy.
All right, here's my opinion, okay? Pastor Kent, first off, you did say you were married. I'm going to agree with Tony on that. You definitely said that. Number two, I find it amazing that you could sleep with a woman for 2 years in bed and never touch her. I'll tell you what, I can't last 1 minute before my hands are all over my woman. All over her, man. 1 minute. In fact, when the show's over, I'm going to take her upstairs and bang her tonight.
Thank you, Leroy. Thank you, Leroy, for confirming that he said he was married. Thank you so much.
He did say that. Yes, he said that. He said, when I was married, I did not touch my wife. I don't know how you able to do that, man.
Well, you know,
isn't that considered shacking up?
Well, Pastor Beal here, I've shacked up with a woman before, before being married, and it was not a good experience in my life. We moved in together 3 months after we started dating. I had met her, you know, out at a supermarket and was attracted to her. I thought she was pretty. You can fill in the rest by listening to the, what's that song? Sir Mix-a-Lot song. Amen. But we shacked up together, and, you know, it was not good. And there was a lot of ungodly things that happened, and there was many ungodly things that have happened in my life before I came to Christ. Amen. And I want to talk about respect, because we've said, you know, the best way to prevent ourselves from coming on to our significant others, if we're not married, is to disrespect them. And I don't think it's as simple as that. There are tests to it. Maybe don't sleep in the same bed, you know. Maybe try not to think sexual thoughts, because, you know, God tells us in the Bible, even think about having sex with a woman is bad, right?
Or dating an extremely plain-looking one.
Yeah, you could also date an extremely plain-looking individual. In fact, many Christian sects do that. Look at the Mennonites, for example. There's a famous Mark Twain quote about the Mormons. Mark Twain talks about going out to Utah in hopes that he can engage in the polyamorous relationships that the Mormon church developed, and then he says he saw the Mormon women. It's a phenomenal Mark Twain quote, one of the best American comedian writers of all time, period, end of story. But that's important. Maybe don't go out looking for the biggest curve, so to speak, or
or the most attractive woman. You know, as a Christian, you shouldn't be looking at that anyways. You should be looking at their heart. Do they have God in their heart? And then you can maybe wait for marriage even more. Amen. And maybe that's something we tell our youth these days. Instead of going out and fornicating and you know, going all around and doing all of that and spreading your seed in places where your seed doesn't need to be spread, we just tell them, hey, look in the heart first. When you are going out to look for a woman, say, you know, it's really this simple, and it's hard to say. If you wake up in the morning and you are like, okay, I don't love this woman, and I just committed a grave sin with her, then you've obviously missed the mark here. When you wake up in the morning, you should love the woman that you're with. You shouldn't just do one-night stands. I'm probably being a little bit vulgar when I'm talking about that. But
you could start a whole new teenage program. Date an Ugmo for Jesus.
Date an Ugmo? Oh, my. Date an Ugmo for Jesus.
Tony F., I think you're on to something.
Yeah. It's one way to stop them. No, they're teenagers. It wouldn't stop them. Plain girls get laid just as quick as pretty ones.
Amen. Now, I want to hear from the rest of the panel here a little bit. Is Pastor Kent still on the line? Perhaps he has a different opinion, and I'd love for him to have the time and the space to express that opinion if he could.
I already said my piece. Why do I have to keep repeating it?
Well, I think we've moved the conversation in another direction here, and I'd love to see what you think about what the other pastors have said. Pastor Leroy,
they have a right to their opinion. Who am I to judge?
I don't
Amen.
Think
they're allowed to have their opinion. No, they're allowed to have their opinion. They're allowed to. I mean, I am an adult, and I can agree to disagree. And there's
yeah.
nothing wrong with
Amen.
That.
Amen.
That's the mature thing to do. So.
Exactly.
Amen.
The mature thing is not to be a sheep. Always be a leader. Always express your opinion and make sure it is known.
Amen.
Don't follow behind
Amen.
Others.
And that's the reason why I'd love to hear from Kent here, because, you know, Tony F. and I seem to agree a lot, and Pastor Ken and I seem to agree on the subject. But I don't want it to be like, oh, the whole panel has decided this in the favor, and there can't be, like, back and forth. So, Pastor Kent, I'd love to hear an expanded take with what you've discussed in the past 10 minutes or so, what Tony F. has discussed about various different solutions to the issue of just premarital sex. I'd love to hear your opinion a little bit more expanded upon with that in mind. Amen.
How can it be more expanded than it's in black and white? Plain and simple. There's nothing more to be said. You know, you either believe or you don't believe, or you believe a different way, and that's okay too.
It is. I agree with Kent on that point. It is in black and white. Premarital sex in the Bible is a sin.
Yes.
We are all, but then again, we all have to go with what I have to say all the time. We are all sinners. The Bible says that. That ye without sin throw the first stone. Everybody has sin. No matter how much you stand up and preach, no matter what kind of pastor you are, no matter if you have a congregation of 500,000 all across the world, you have sin. You sin every single day. If you were to try to follow your life directly from the Bible, you would be sinning from the moment you get up. Because there's
Amen.
Lots of sins that it's a sin to wear certain materials. It's a sin to do certain things. It's a sin to do this. It's a sin to do that. There are a million sins in the Bible. There is no way anybody can live their life by the Bible and sit back and say, I live my life thoroughly by the Bible, so I am above sin. No, sir.
Amen, Tony F. And I think it's important for pastors to also put it on the line when they sin. You know, a lot of pastors pretend to be sinless. They talk about their past, but they don't talk about the sins of the present. They don't go up in front of their congregation and say, parents, you know, people, I have sinned today, and I'm repenting to you in front of an audience of my peers, right? Imagine how powerful that would be, you know, if a pastor went up there. And I'll give an example for my own sin. And this might sound a little bit weird to some people, but it's important to note that, like, it's important for us pastors to break social norms to be able to reach people. So if I go out in front of my church and say, parish, I have sinned today. I have committed fornication on myself. I masturbated. If I say that, it wakes people up, right? It's evocative. But also, it speaks to something deeper about myself. You know, I as a pastor have committed a sin. We're not perfect either. We're trying to, you know, bring the word of God forward, but we also have to, we also have issues in our own life that we have to grapple with, we have to work with God with. And
well,
so
since we're on the discussion, since we're on the discussion of sex, you also have to take into consideration this too. According to the Bible, the only type of sex anybody should be having is man, woman, and it should only be face-to-face, missionary position. There should be no oral, there should be no anal, there should be no masturbation. There should be none of that. So if you enjoy any of that in your bed, you are a sinner big time.
Well,
anybody
hey,
that's having
hey,
anything
hey.
Other anybody that's having anything other than missionary sex is a sinner.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And that's why we say we're all sinners. Because I heard Pastor Leroy about this week, and Pastor Leroy can speak shortly. And I know probably Pastor Ken. I'm sorry to speak for you, Pastor Ken, myself included, and Leroy Jackson from the Bronx. I know we all have probably committed sexual acts that aren't missionary, right? It's important to express that, acknowledge that, and say that, yes, when we say that we are sinners, like, Father, forgive me, for I am a sinner. Yes, we have sinned. Yes, we've masturbated before. Yes, we've had oral before, perhaps. I don't know. Maybe I'm being a little bit too vulgar right now, but I'm trying to be evocative, right? Pastor Leroy, maybe you could speak on this.
Well, you know what? I mean, let me say this, man. Let me say this. I've had sex every possible way there is to have it, man. I've had it in every position in the world, man. And if we're talking about sinners, man, we're talking about sinners. I sin by the hour, man. Hallelujah.
Now, Pastor Leroy, I challenge you to say what's the latest sin that you have committed that you want to repent for
right
now?
No, we don't need to go there. We don't need to go there. We don't need to know. We do not need to know what Pastor Leroy does in his spare time, sexually. We do not need to know that.
Oh, I'm not. Actually, I'm asking just a sin that you can name that you've committed off the top of your head and get it out there to show to the audience who might not be Christian that, yes, us the pastors do sin and we have to repent for it. Well, I don't hear Leroy on the line, but I think this has been a very evocative discussion, and I'm curious what the panel thinks about my discussion on bringing sin forward, like bringing it to the forefront of our life, exposing ourselves with all of our worms that we have inside of us, sins that we have committed, so that people could see that, yes, we are sinners and, you know, we can repent. Pastor Kent, to your thoughts.
Yeah, well, you know, like you said, we're all sinners in one form or way, okay? I mean, we may let out a cuss word every now and then, okay? Cuss is not godly, okay? It's things like that, you know. I mean, that we do. Okay.
Amen. Pastor Hopper, your opinion.
My opinion? It's very simple. I'm human.
Amen. And that's great.
Well, we all. And God himself says in the Bible that he expects us to sin while we're on this earth. Well, that's why there's repentance. That's why there's forgiveness. That's why there's grace. So, but if you repeatedly do the same thing over and over again, you're obviously not sorry for what you're doing.
So, amen, I completely agree. But what about people who keep doing it? Like, I did couples therapy. I had a couple comments and say, oh, who is that in the background? Is that Pastor Leroy?
No, it ain't me, man. It ain't me.
Amen. Well, I had a couple come up to me in couple therapy, and they said, Pastor Veal, you know, we keep doing this thing in the bedroom. We keep doing this Alaskan pipeline thing, and we cannot stop doing it. Need your assistance. And I told them that you must, like, make a concerted effort to not do that. I said, man, I need to level with you here. You might like that as much as you want in the world. It might be super easy taking this back to lying. You know, you might really enjoy lying to somebody. You might really enjoy cheating somebody. You might really enjoy cheating on your wife. But you have to make a concerted effort to stop. And at some point, you have to have a come-to-Jesus moment that maybe this isn't the right thing to be doing. And I think for a lot of those people, those moments come in church. So I always try to get people in the church, always get my couples in the church, a physical building, not just listening to Blog Talk Radio or whatever. Always try to get our couples to read the Bible before bed. Like, lay down together, read the Bible together, amen. And it doesn't fix everything often, right? Not every single thing is going to be a silver bullet. People have to come to Christ themselves. But I think it's a pretty good system. What say you, panel?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, you gotta make it clear, okay, that okay, certain sexual acts is culpable, okay, and certain things are not. Like the Alaskan pipeline thing, that's not a good thing.
Mm-hmm. And before we talk here, I want to go over this. Here's ways that sex can be godly, or ways that it can't be godly. And this article is just great. It starts with, is having sex with a robot a sin? If so, why? Maybe that question feels outlandish to you, especially in the U.S. Doesn't currently have a sex robot brothel, although they do exist in Europe and Asia. So consider an act that is regularly reinforced on TV shows and movies, masturbation. How would you respond when asked whether masturbation is a sin? What reasoning would you give for your answer? The Bible names some sexual acts, such as homosexuality, which my church disagrees that it's a sin, and adultery as sin. We won't find references to oral sex, sex toys, the Alaskan pipeline, munging, masturbation, the Nigerian hurricane, sex robots in our Bible for condenses. When the Bible doesn't mention activity, give a command, or explicitly label something as sin, we should examine the principles of God, the examples God provides in His Word. In my book, it's not just you, freeing women talk about sexual sin and fight well. I discussed six principles of God's design for sex, and we considered the robot sex question, the masturbation question, the munging question, and other sex questions about sexual acts. It tells us to identify whether a sexual act is a sin. Is the sex heterosexual? Now, we disagree with this one. Is sex related? Going back to Genesis 2, God designed sex to occur in a relationship between two people, not three or four, not in a polyamorous relationship. This principle nixes the notion that we can have sexual relations with just ourselves, which means masturbation, solo sex, is a sin because there is one gender involved. It's also a homosexual. So if you've masturbated, you're a homosexual, whether you like to admit it or not. You have committed a homosexual act before. Also, you cannot go to sex parties. You cannot look at porno. You cannot do bestiality. You can't go up to a horse and you can't say, "Hi, horse, how's it going?" You commit a sexual act to a horse. That is a sin because it's another person. Again, the relationship is between two people. Also, you can't have sex with sex dolls or sex robots or computer screens or Lord forbid, a pumpkin or a paper towel roll or something to that degree. If the sex act is relational, occurring between two people and only two people, it's a sin. Is sex conventional? Not only is sex relational, but God's the type of relationship in which it is to occur, marriage. So incest, what they do in Alabama, cohabitation before marriage is a sin, and adultery are sin because they're occurring with somebody who is not your spouse. Working in your 20s/30s ministry, I often hear the question, how far is too far, which is what I've been trying to discuss today. How far is too far? Can I insert it an inch? Can I insert it 2 inches? How about 3? Can I do it from behind? Can I do it in the mouth? Et cetera. These are questions that are hard, hard questions, right? They seem ungodly to even ask. But the premise of this question is even just problematic, the question on how far is too far. For it wants to know what we can do before it's considered a sin. If you're not married, any sexual activity, oral sex, sexual touching, fondling, touching breasts, touching buttocks, touching lips of both kind is a sin. For the only person you're to engage with sexually is your spouse. And to clarify here, you might love the person and intend to marry them, but neither dating nor engagement equals marriage. So if you're on the day before your wedding, you can't get your woman into a back room, this happened at my church, and fornicate with her. That is a sin. And it's also worth mentioning that sex has to be fruitful. While sex is just means for procreation, God intends for it to be fruitful, both in producing children and strengthening the bond between the husband and the wife. Furthermore, knowing that intercourse can lead to children should affect the way we view sex, with implications for how we think about abortion as well as birth control methods, too. We consider the fruitfulness of sex. Keep in mind that the emphasis shifts between the old covenant and the new covenant. While the old covenant emphasizes the creation of commands of multiplying and filling the earth of God's image in Genesis 1:26 through 1:28, the New Testament emphasizes the Great Commission in Matthew 28:18-20. Now, this doesn't mean that Christians stop having children, but it does mean that all Christ-filers have the responsibility to be spiritual parents. Amen. Sex is selfless. We can't just do sex to seek your pleasure. And a lot of women come up to me and say, "Pastor Veal, all my husband cares about is getting off. As soon as he finishes, he's off me and smoking a cigarette outside." That is not good for a relationship, period, and it's not a Christian relationship. You should be committed to the act of hand. This implies feelings of pleasure, and pleasure and feelings of both spouses are important. Furthermore, sex being selfless does not condone sexual violence, including marital rape. For marriage does not need equal consent. So you always have to keep that. Remember that. That's why money is a sin. Lord forgive me for saying this, a body cannot consent to sexual acts being committed on them. Amen. When Paul addresses the issue of congenital rights in 1 Corinthians 7:1 through 4, he's commanding against selfishness dressed up as spirituality, where prayer and fasting are used as exercises for abstinence. So that is the solution we're looking for, prayer and abstinence, right? How do you do that? Perhaps you fast. Perhaps you don't look at pornography. Perhaps you don't get off with masturbation, again, a homosexual act. Sex is also symbolic. and it needs to be consensual. And with that, I say amen and turn it back to the panel of pastors. I apologize for getting on a high horse there, but I think this has been a very fruitful discussion.
Yeah, I think it has been very fruitful as well. Amen. God bless you, Pastor Bill. I was going to say, you know, we're getting down to the last couple minutes of the program here, okay? I'm going to play a song, okay? It's called A Way to Cross Over. Here we go.
When Moses with Israel came to the Red Sea, Yahweh said, have courage and leave it to me. Well, I will not forsake you. I'm going to hold to your hand. There's a way to cross over to Canaan's fair land. There's a way to cross over to Canaan's fair land. All evil surrenders at the master's command. Just trust in Yahweh and let him hold to your hand. There's a way to cross over to Canaan's fair land. In this life before us, many trials we face. You know we're tested and tempted to give up this race. But then I hear Yahshua whisper, let me hold to your hand. For there's a way to cross over to Canaan's fair land. There's a way to cross over Canaan's fair land. All evil surrendered at the master's command. Just trust in Yahweh and let him hold to your hand. There's a way to cross over to Canaan's fair land. There's a way to cross over to Canaan's fair land. All evil surrenders at the master's command. Just trust in Yahweh and let him hold to your hand. There's a way to cross over to Canaan's fair land. There's a way to cross over to Canaan's fair land.
Amen. Way to cross over. Well, I'm going to close this out with a prayer. Okay, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we come to you, for you have counted us as your children. Our hearts long to come to you, our God and Savior. May your word bless us and restore us, and give us the courage, hearts to bear the stress of our times. Let our light rise in our days so that people care about your will. Then the need on earth shall come to an end. Your name shall be honored, and your will be done. Lord God, you alone are our help. Be merciful to us. Stretch out your hand so that all people may turn to you and to your commandments, and your will may be done on earth. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless everybody. Thank you for showing up. Okay, give a shout out to Juan from Alabama. Okay, Mad Mark, Johnny Longfeather, DC2. Okay, God bless everybody. Thank you. Okay, come again for tomorrow night at 5 p.m. We'll have another show. Okay, see you then. God bless.
God bless. Amen. Remember, born godly.